Okay, I'll call the May 16th, 2023 regular planning and zoning meeting to order at 7:01 PM. Everybody rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes, Ted Estuan. Steve Jalowick.
Here.
David Kupchansky.
Here.
Raul Sanchez.
Here.
Albert Miskowitz. Raymond Sadlick.
Here.
Gino Di Giovanni.
Here.
Michael Fraterola. Dan Blisman.
Here.
We have six members present.
Thank you. I do not know of any additions, deletions, or corrections to the agenda. Does anybody else know of any? If not, we'll move on to communications. I also do not know of any communications that have come into the commission. We can always go back to that if when the chairman joins, if he has anything. Next agenda item is public portion. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address the commission?
Mr. Chair, the Mr. Miskowitz has entered the meeting at 7:03.
Ah. Thank you. Karen, you're gonna add, can you add him to the roll?
Yes, I have it. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Al.
Hey, how's it going?
Just wonderful. okay, so anybody wants to address the commission?
I will. Mark Garfalo, town clerk, regarding the O'Sullivan Island application. Just want to remind the board that part of the approval of the April 17th meeting of the board of aldermen and alderwomen did include stipulation that the that there be a letter before anything commences or approved, that there would be a letter from an LEP signing off on the environmental issues on O'Sullivan Island. And just to remind you that O'Sullivan's, as I stated at the alderman meeting, O'Sullivan Island was in 2011, they brought in EPA to do a certain amount of cleanup, but they only put 1 foot of fill on O'Sullivan's Island that floods regularly. And it's still on the state list of contaminated places because it was not cleaned to state deep standards, which require 2 feet of fill. So I just want that noted to make sure that the health, safety, and welfare of anybody that's using the island is protected and that the city's legal liability is protected.
Duly noted. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you
for your comments.
And I'm sorry, and one other issue that the regarding the there was no Schedule A, the locations of the activities were not, the Board of Aldermen did not have them in their possession when this was approved. So these locations are, you know, for the, but what I see on what was submitted here, the bike box and the tent and the boathouse were, are things that are, the boathouse and the staging areas beyond the fishing pier, it looks like, which invites more traffic onto the island. So it's even more important that that aspect of it be addressed and make sure that the city's interest is protected. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Any other comments on the public portion? Okay, we will move along to approval minutes from the April 18th, 23 regular meeting. Did everybody get a chance to go through the meeting minutes? And is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
And do we have a second?
Second.
Thanks, Al. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Okay, the only application we have on the agenda is the receipt of the Scoot and Paddle O'Sullivan Island site plan application. I make a motion that we receive that application and hear it today under new business.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So moved. So moving along to new business. I see the applicant is here. Tina, do you want to, I know you appeared before us before and before the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen a couple times, so you probably have the spiel memorized, but could you give us a high level refresher on what you're planning and just point out anything specifically that you've changed since your original discussion with us, if anything, for that matter.
It's pretty simple. It's pretty basic. We're going to rent kayaks and rent paddle boards from a small beach area on O'Sullivan Island. And bikes will be rented right out of the Connex box right before the Greenway. It's really basic. There's not a whole lot to say. Nothing's changed. There was some back and forth with Hog Island or O'Sullivan Island, but because of ownership issues with Hog Island, it was determined I should be at O'Sullivan Island. The site plan is attached where the boxes would be located. And as far as I know from the city attorney, he said, based on the information he received, it was cleared by the state and DEEP for recreational use, which is what I'll be doing without any digging or penetrating the membrane or anything of that sort. It's cleared. People can go there and enjoy O'Sullivan Island. And that's what the city attorney had said I'd be doing. So there should be no conflict, but he has that letter stating that it should be fine based on what it's cleared for by the state.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for that piece of information regarding the usage of the island. Ryan, do you have any comments before we ask the rest of the commissioners if they want to have questions or add comments?
Just a couple items, Mr. Chairman. As you all know, this site is within a floodplain, within the 100-year floodplain of the Housatonic and Naugatuck Rivers. It's subject to regular inundation. So I would ask the applicant to provide just a little bit of information on the what is the bike box and what is the boathouse and how quickly or how easily or how mobile are those features. Obviously a tent is easy to remove, but you know, in the event of a flood condition or elevated water condition, how easy is it to move those things off site?
Yeah, they're just Connex boxes, 20 feet long, both of them, even though I call it a boathouse and a bike box, they're just both Connex boxes and they are easily moved with a truck that is delivering them, or I believe you have something, I think Gino maybe mentioned that there might be something that the city even has that could be able to move them if it happened in an emergency situation, but they're metal boxes. If we put them on cinder blocks, I don't see a problem with the general flooding, but if there's ever a big like hurricane type thing with heavy waves and tidal increase, I guess we could move them. It shouldn't be too difficult. They get delivered there. So when the truck.
Okay, so it's pretty straightforward to bring it in and pretty straightforward to bring it out. And I just, I don't want, obviously you don't want to lose your equipment. No. And, obviously it's not a permanent structure, but, you know, we do have to, you know, certainly dot our I's and cross our T's with respect to the temporary nature of it and how quickly it can be evacuated if called for. And, you know, it will, this area will flood, you know, that is, it's a certainty. It's just a question of frequency and timing.
Ryan, it's Gino DiGiovanni. I told Tina in discussion with her a few months back when we met down there, that if there was in case of a flood, a hurricane, so forth and so on, it's just a normal 20-foot, 8-foot wide, 20-foot Connex box. They're pretty light when there's nothing in it. And I told her that if there was any type of emergency, we'll just bring the loader over there, pick it up, put it on a trailer, and move it to higher ground. So just wanted to state that. My shop is right across from where she's at, so okay. We're pretty local. If there's some type of emergency or flooding, you know.
I have a question for Tino, actually. I know I saw in some of the email threads with the, I forget his name, I'm sorry, the new guy doing the economic development.
Roger.
Roger. Are you planning, assuming this gets approved tonight, are you planning on still trying to do this for this year?
Yes, if it gets approved tonight, I could still do it for this year. Yep.
Ryan, did you have any other follow-up questions?
No, I would note for the commission's purposes that she did request a waiver of, I think it's section 195-132, if memory serves, or 133 rather, that a site plan not be required because there's no permanent modifications to the site. Mm-hmm. I don't have any objection to that.
Does any other commissioner have any questions or comments?
I have a couple questions, Steve. Go ahead. My first one is to Ryan, is there any provision in our floodplain ordinance on securing those structures like those Connex boxes from flotation, seeing that they're in the floodway?
Well, I think because of the mobile nature of these, I don't know that the floodplain regulations really consider.
Well, I think they consider temporary as 180 days or less. So my question was going to be, are they going to be permanently installed on the island or are they going to be placed there seasonally?
Tina, clarify for us, and here's my understanding. This is a temporary first pass at this test case. And if it works out next fall, you'll be back to us for a more permanent application. Does that make sense? And I shouldn't be putting words in your mouth, but that's my understanding. Could you clarify if that's the case and put it in your own words?
Yes, it was a temporary one season run and we would see how it worked out. And we really didn't get any further than that other than if it worked out great for both, you know, my business and the city, then we would like to revisit it for next year. So that being said, I had planned to remove everything, have the trailers picked up and start fresh next year. But it's possible, you know, if it does work out, maybe we can work something out where they could be stored there for the winter, not in that location, but maybe moved like onto the pavement or something. But I haven't thought about that. I had planned to move them at the end of the season. That's the plan right now.
Thank you. Dave, you said you had a couple questions.
Yeah. I saw in your business plan that you considered putting in a portalette for your employees and customers. I don't see it on the plan here.
You know, I didn't even, I actually hadn't, I never got an answer. I had wanted to know if there was already one there. Do you already have one there in this during the season for the visitors to the Greenway?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Last time I was there, it was nothing.
No.
Okay. Then yes, I definitely would like one, not on the grass. I was hoping to keep it, you know, out of sight a little bit, maybe on the paved area somewhere. That was the sort of, it's necessary for my staff, but also the visitors. Right. And I just thought maybe you'd already have one there, but if not, I would definitely need to rent one for that location. And you could tell me where to put it.
I'd be fine with letting that be worked out with staff if we go ahead with an approval tonight.
Yeah. Now, how about we have any provisions for a first aid station?
No, we just generally keep like a first aid kit in the tent area, right, as people come back. But no, we don't have any sort of, you know, that would be just cuts and sprays and bandages type of thing is all we ever do.
You're going to have water on the site, you know, fresh water?
So apparently there's been some talk about putting water run to the pier that I would be able to utilize. If not, I would need to bring in some sort of buckets of water.
And how about electricity?
As of now, we don't need it. We can't use the scooters on the greenway that are electric. So at this point, we don't plan to need electricity.
Yeah, no, I think the aldermen are limiting you to 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay, so it's all daylight hours. Good.
Yes, for now.
And then do you have some kind of an emergency plan in case one of these kayakers go out in that river and they get in trouble?
As of now, we just generally have our staff members would be able to go out and assist, and they're trained to help people. But if they're too far away, it would just be an emergency call. And in the 11 years I've been open, we've never had to call an emergency call on Long Island Sound. So they're well instructed. The boats are very safe. They are sit on top, so the water does drain out. There's no chance of like being submerged underwater and not being able to get the boat back. Easy to get on and off. So
for those of us who are very familiar with that river, that river could rise incredibly fast. And when the tide is going out, it could race incredibly fast. And kayak could wind up in Shelton in no time, conceivably out into the sound. So I'm hoping that you're going to restrict, you know, use of the kayaks during times when that river is particularly active.
I don't plan to restrict it during any, like, because that would be changing it every single day, the hours that we would rent.
I don't know if that's particularly within our scope of review.
Yeah, it is. That's a safety item.
No, I mean, we deal with that every single day on Long Island Sound as well. We have onshore winds, offshore winds. I mean, we gauge it day by day and hour by hour. If something feels unsafe, we won't send people out, never. But as far as current tide, I mean, if they will be instructed on where to go, what's the best route to go if there is a strong current.
Yeah. Because it's tidal there and it's a river, the currents are particularly strong.
I have paddled there many times, but I agree, you probably have done it, you know, you probably are far more familiar, but that is not something that's possible to gauge the highest point of the outgoing tide every single day and not rent during that time just doesn't seem practical.
Just as long as you have a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Okay. I don't have any more questions, Tina.
Thanks, Dave. Anybody else? Any other commissioners?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Ray.
I'd just like to ask, Tina, do you plan on painting these containers and at least dressing them up a little bit so they're just not a boring gray box or whatever?
I asked if I was allowed to, and I was told we are not. They are green, but the one I have now is green. I don't know if they're all green, but it would be sort of a camouflage. But no, I'm not allowed to paint them.
Okay. All right. Who told you that?
Eagle is where I lease mine from.
Oh, okay. So
if you know leased. Another company, yeah, they're leased.
Okay, I understand. Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Ray.
I think we've heard enough on this, and I'd like to entertain a motion to approve as presented.
Mr. Chairman or Mr. Vice Chairman, I did draft a motion. If you want to consider that for the purposes of
discussion. Yes. Are you volunteering to read it or you want me to read this one?
I'd be happy to. Let me just bring it up. Just give me 1 second. All right.
Oh, I was going to, Barbara, you can attest to the fact that the Corporation Council has some type of letter from Deep saying that this was okay.
I don't doubt it. I don't personally know that, though.
Okay. We'd like to make sure that gets added into the record.
Do you happen to have a copy of the letter? You're on mute.
In the last conversation with him yesterday, he said he was anticipating getting it, that he did not get it yet. And if so, it's not on file on any office that I'm aware of at City Hall. It's unbelievable.
That was Attorney Marino?
Attorney Marini.
Marini, sorry. Pardon me. Barbara, can you make sure that we get that into the record?
Sure.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. So Ray didn't make a motion. So if Ray finds this suitable, he'll have to, accept the amended motion. But the draft motion is City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, May 16th, 2023. Application, Christine Pritchard, O'Sullivan's Island Outdoor Recreation Bike and Kayak Rentals. Application for site plan approval. Following review of the plans and supporting documentation submitted in support of this application, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission hereby approves the application for site plan approval for Christine Pritchard on property shown on Derby Assessor's Map 8-5, Lot 3, with the following stipulated conditions. One, no permanent site improvements are being proposed, the applicant is granted a waiver of Section 185.33 of the zoning regulations requiring a Class A2 survey for the final site plan. Two, any permanent improvements will require site plan review and approval from the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission and the Derby Inland Wetlands Agency. Three, as the site is within the FEMA 100-year floodplain and subject to seasonal inundation, the applicant shall monitor weather forecasts and remove trailers, tents, and other equipment from flood-prone areas in the event of flood warnings. This approval shall be based upon the following documents submitted in support of this application, items 1 through 6, and I won't read them in detail. So I believe Ray made the motion. Ray, do you accept this as an amended motion?
Yes, as amended.
Yeah. Ryan, I have one comment in the version you sent out, the very last item.
I did fix that to reflect the meeting today. That was copy and paste run amok.
I figured.
Karen and Ted have my amended amended motion. So
second on the motion.
I'll second it.
Discussion.
Seconded. Any final discussion?
Yeah, Ryan, does that items 1 through 6 include the Board of Aldermen's agreement?
It does.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Motions. We have a second, a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to seeing you down there.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay. That was the only item we had for new business today. Moving on to old business. Ryan, is the applicant supposed to appear today?
We have not heard anything since they gave the 65-day extension.
So what do we have left now after today?
With the 65-day extension, I believe in a status report, I calculated out to July that this application could still be considered. So we have certainly June. And hold on, let me actually just pull up my status report.
July. So we have to make new action by
a decision will have to be rendered by at next month's meeting.
Sorry about that.
Well,
so we have to make our decision in June.
But we haven't even really discussed this plan.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, I think the way that, so Ryan, you haven't any communication at all with the applicant?
Does anybody hear from, what is it, AJ Clark Landscaping?
Doesn't appear to be.
Well, the last course, but I they've received my comment letter that I submitted not long or before this application was received, and I think they didn't quite understand that the expectation is that they address it to mm-hmm. some degree or another, or explain why they don't want to address it. And then after a month, I think we had some technical difficulties where they were hoping to get on, and the meeting didn't start till 7:30, I think, for some reason. And so they didn't appear that month, and then the next month they get issued the extension, and here we are today.
It makes sense for you to send them a follow-up message letter.
Yes.
On behalf of the commission, and let them know that we will have to take action one way or the other at the June meeting. If we don't hear, I mean, either they need to appear and answer the questions you have and respond, or the commission will need to take action. Can they extend one more time? Can they extend further? Or are they out?
Nope. They granted the maximum number of extension days. So from the date of receipt to the date of decision is 130 days under those circumstances, which would put us in the first week of July. So,
yeah.
You can always deny without prejudice.
Yeah, that's right. Kind of what I was thinking too, right?
And it is a site plan. It is just a site plan application. So if, for example, next month, hypothetically, they come before the commission, you have some concerns, they won't be able to address them on the spot. Or let's say I still have some concerns they haven't addressed or whatever, or they didn't notify abutters as they're supposed to. You could deny without prejudice and they could come back in theory the next month and with a new application and those questions addressed, and mm-hmm. you'd be able to knock it out in one meeting.
Right.
In theory.
Yep. Does the site have zoning violations as is without the site plan approval? Or is that a...
How many houses are on that lot?
I believe there's two or three. It's
two or three. I mean, shouldn't we know?
I don't have the plan in front of me, but there's a few houses on it. But those predate the landscaping business. But
yeah,
no, it's non-conforming. But my concern is they're all served by septic system,
right? Right. So the way that this works for a site like this with multiple properties on a septic, either you have to, and let's say you put up another building like they're proposing, you can do one of two things. You can either demonstrate that you have compliant areas for replacement leaching fields on the property, or if you can get approval or consent from the sewer authority that you could connect to sewer in the event of a septic failure, then that would suffice for the purposes of the local health district. So I do know that there is sewer in New Haven Avenue, although as a practical matter, it's probably very costly to connect across Route 34. But in theory, if they were to get some sort of a written consent from the WPCA that they could connect in the future, then that would satisfy any requirements for a replacement leaching field area.
Wouldn't they also need approval from Valley Health Department?
Well, no. So the septic replacement scenario, it's called a B100A. That's the sort of the health code term for it, would be satisfied if they had approval for connection to the sewer in the future if needed.
My question is, what if the new building encroaches on the existing septic system?
Oh, well, yeah, okay. I see what you're saying.
That
would
be on the B100. If they could expand it, where would it be? And if the buildings on top of where the expansion would be, so that wouldn't work.
Well, they're
different matter. Yeah. But they would.
We may have somebody from the applicant present that's having sound difficulty. I see a hand raised. Is that
Eric Arzell?
Yeah. Is he the applicant?
No. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can.
Okay. So I'm not the applicant. I'm actually a neighbor. I have John on the phone right now, and he was talking to his land surveyor, and I got a letter from his land surveyor about the meeting tonight, so I decided to join, but he did not notify John about the meeting tonight. So I have John on the phone. Can you guys invite him into the Zoom now?
Well, I don't...
He's got to respond to Ryan's letter.
He could dial in.
He could dial in.
The town clerk would let him in.
Yeah, the town clerk will let you in. What do you want?
You need the Zoom meeting number and the password.
Yeah, do you have the Zoom meeting number and the password?
Yes.
I can text it to him.
I'll text it to you right now. All right, I'm going to text him the Zoom meeting and the password.
Okay, we'll stand by.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, John, I'll text it to you now.
Thank you. Okay, you can mute yourself.
Good thing I saw that hand raised.
I have to look it up because the meeting didn't connect. Oh. So please hold. Just mute yourself.
We'll take a 5-minute break.
The letters were sent out to the neighbors about the meeting.
Well, apparently.
Apparently.
Need to see a copy of that.
Dino, if I may, your volume is very low. So if you have more conversations, speak up a little more.
How about now, Karen? Better?
Yeah.
Yeah, much better. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We wouldn't want to miss any Gino's comments on the record.
I'm sure you wouldn't.
So I texted him the password
and the meeting number.
And the meeting number. So good. Hopefully he'll join in a few minutes.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Ryan, can you pull up your comment letter to have?
Sure thing.
Andy, I will search through to see if I have it somewhere.
Mark, is anyone trying to get in?
Just now.
Ryan, this is not a public hearing. This is really just a staff discussion. Staff and commission discussion.
It is a site plan application.
So the applicant can speak, but not really, and the commissioners, and staff, but nobody else.
I mean, unless the applicant consents, it's unorthodox.
Okay.
But
You're muted, John.
How's that? Can you hear me?
Works.
There you go.
Yep, we got it.
I apologize. Welcome. Yeah, I had no knowledge of the meeting tonight, so I wasn't informed. I'm sorry. I wasn't updated. I've been talking to, you know, my surveyor, Jeff, and Kevin White, and he just forgot to tell me, I think.
We'll need your name and address for the record.
Jonathan Clark. The property owner is J&S Associates, which is, I'm the owner of the company, and the property address, 261 New Haven Avenue in Derby.
So, John, I think what we're hoping for is to get your response to the questions and issues that were raised by Ryan and his letter of review. Are you prepared tonight to be able to do that?
I mean, I'm not sure. I think so, but.
Well, so, I mean, there is a possibility. So the way Ryan, you're going to correct me here if I get this messed up, right? The way it stands right now, the application, the commission has to act on the application by July 1st. Okay. We have one more meeting scheduled between now and then. So by our June meeting, we have to take some action one way or the other.
Was I granted the extension? Because I know last I spoke to Kevin and Jeff, I applied for the extension.
You were granted the extension, correct?
Okay. You granted the extension. The commission doesn't actually grant the extension. So you granted it. We're in good shape there.
Gotcha. Okay.
So if you're not prepared to answer tonight.
We're here.
Yeah, Ryan, could you pull up ask him the questions and
sure.
Okay, good.
The answers why we're here.
Yeah, I'll answer whatever I can, obviously.
Great.
So you know, there was 9 comments in my letter, and I've got it up in front of you, you should be able to see it. But the first is really a typical application procedure when you have abutting property owners. To notify the abutting property owners, make sure that certificates of mailing were completed, and those certificates of mailing should be provided to Lisa in the building office.
I was under the impression that was done. I'm bringing up your letter right now. I'm trying to find it. Okay.
Okay. If it's been done, then just make sure that the certificates, the receipts that the post office stamps, gets to Lisa, so she can stick in the file. We're looking for a copy of the survey. You have a sediment and erosion control plan that has hand-drawn information over what looks to be an original survey. So it would be helpful if that survey were provided as part of the application. All pretty straightforward. A zoning data table, always helpful when you're looking to build a new building, just make sure that what you have still conforms to the bulk standards in the zone.
Yeah.
Not a heavy lift for a surveyor engineer to complete. This one, number 4, is a little unique because this site has, I would say, characterized as evolved over the years in terms of the intensity of what's going on the property. Historically, it just had a few houses, some gravel driveways. And over the years, a lot of vegetation was removed. Gravel areas have expanded dramatically. And the result is we've had a couple of instances of pretty significant flooding that has gone originally from this property, and then of course contributing from other properties down to the south through the Greco and Haynes site that have really flooded them out pretty badly. A lot of that is due to natural runoff from extreme rain events. But I did notice that this property has had pretty significant changes in building in lot coverage in terms of reduction in vegetation, increase in gravel surfaces that has certainly contributed to that ongoing drainage problem down gradient.
Yeah.
So in addition to increasing the amount of storage provided for the roof area, I am asking that you consider other drainage options that could help to alleviate, to the extent possible, not eliminate, but alleviate some of the runoff that's been coming off this property for the past decade or so. Moving along, you got concrete galleries proposed for the storm drainage. which is fine in and of itself. I just note that it's they are upgrading of a concrete block retaining wall. You know, just to check and make sure that those aren't going to result in a hydrostatic load on the backside of that wall. So in other words, that you're not going to have this wall fail because you have the concrete galleries up gradient.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't think it even needs to be. I think you had 8 feet right here. I don't think it needs to be that tall. It's just to stop some of the erosion into the building, right?
Oh well, I'm getting to that. That's another okay. comment. But sorry. This is more. You have that segmental block wall.
The existing. Sorry. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure that if you're going to put concrete galleries in for storm drainage, that they're set at an elevation that's not going to result in any water within those galleries putting a load on the backside of that retaining wall, causing that wall to fail.
Understood.
Are there any outdoor storage areas that you're considering?
Nothing more than you see currently. I mean, the whole goal is to put everything inside the building.
Okay. With regard to buffering on the neighboring property, I know that you've added some trees along the property line. I think it would be helpful if your plan shows the buffering that it exists today or that's been planted. And then the commission would be in a position to make a decision as to whether or not additional vegetation would be required, fencing, berms, all spelled out in section 195-25E of the zoning regulations. Dave, you preempted me.
Sorry. Kuchinski,
yep. About the Naugatuck Valley Health. I just note that the NVHD should be contacted to see if any if they have any concerns with regard to the placement of the building with respect to code complying, not code complaining. Code complying reserve leaching areas. Sorry about that typo.
Nope.
Code complaining. Yeah. Oof. lastly, the retaining wall that you show on the east side of the building, you have up to 8 feet in height. I just want to make sure that the areas between your building and that wall are graded properly so that you don't have any ponding water or drainage issues in between the wall and the building. That was the purpose of that comment.
Understood, yeah.
So those were my comments. I think that the biggest concern I have is just the runoff from the property. It's been a nuisance or been a problem for downgrading property. So it's something that I think can reasonably be improved as part of this application.
Yeah, and that would basically be the concrete galleys
There's the base level of runoff that you need to handle from the proposed building.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about is also a little bit more consideration for the fact that the site has changed recently over the last decade or so, resulting in more runoff exiting the property than what historically went off the site.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I did plant a row of trees, which are now full grown. I planted them probably 10 years ago. But I would assume I could add a berm, in front of that. As far as there's only one spot where it runs, there's always been kind of a, there's the catch basin that comes under 34 and it's always kind of ran across the property into that low area, which obviously could slow down more by adding a berm in front of the existing trees I planted, but.
And it seems like based on the testing results you have excellent soil here.
Yeah, great drainage. Yeah, great. It's all sandy, basically. So
any ability to excavate a infiltration area or something to encourage water to get in the ground, I think would be a very positive benefit for downgrading properties.
Yeah, okay.
And Ryan, have you talked to his engineer?
Well, Kevin White is the one who stamped the plan.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little unique that the zoning enforcement the zoning enforcement officer was the engineer of record on this. So,
yeah, so I've been I started with Kevin before he started working for the city of Derby. So I get there's a little bit of a conflict possibly, but that's why it's been a, you know, I've been trying to put as much, you know, have him let me know what I need to do. Obviously, I want to get the bill, so whatever I have to do. And the back and forth, I don't know if he's, you know, I hired Jeff to do the drawings because Kevin, you know, because of the conflict of interest, I guess, was the biggest issue. So, yeah, I've been kind of in the middle just saying, hey, whatever we need to do, let's get it done. And I got your letter and I forwarded it to Jeff and Kevin. And yeah, I apologize. They never actually let me know to get into this meeting. But yeah, I have no issues with doing any of this just to get this, you know, ball rolling.
But I think the best bet, Ryan, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that John should make sure that Jeff appears with gets a revised plan to you before the next meeting, at least a week before, or a couple weeks before, addressing all these comments. And then, you know, if you could return with him on the meeting, the next meeting is June 20th, then we can put it in the agenda both as an item to hear under old business and for possible action and try to get this wrapped up.
So the next meeting's next meeting is June 20th, which is Tuesday. Yeah. Okay. So I'll have all these questions. I'll talk to Jeff and Kevin and have all these questions resolved before then.
Yeah. Yeah, the sooner you can get them to Ryan so that he can filter them and make sure that they're all addressed. This way, come the 20th, we'll have all the information in front of us to be able to make a determination. Gotcha.
So we could just basically reconvene and
a little
over a month. And yeah, I apologize. I did not.
I understand. You've got a business to run on top of it.
Yes.
a little bit of a distraction.
Well, Kevin did tell me, I missed the last meeting, so he said he's going to file for an extension, but then never followed up with me. So, that's where we're at, and I do apologize.
Yeah, we're at a point in our timeline where we don't have any other ability for an extension, so we really have to do something on that June 20th meeting.
Yeah, and I obviously want to get it done as soon as possible. So I'll get all these questions answered and resolved, and we'll reconvene by June 20th.
Chairman, I got one simple question for Jonathan. I'd like to ask it now rather than wait until next month. Jonathan, you have three houses on the lot now?
Currently, yes.
Three single fin. They're all served by septic.
They all have individual septic tanks, yeah.
Okay. And the new building, the 4,800 square foot building, I see that you're running a water line into that. What are you going to do for sewage disposal out of that building?
I have no plans for sewage, no plans for a bathroom. If I felt I needed it, I was thinking of just doing an outhouse for, you know, a porta potty for the guys, but it's just storage, you know, which I'm doing it out of Orange right now. We just have a porta potty there, which is sufficient. Down the road, you know, maybe would I turn a house into an office? You know, that would be a dream. But right now, it's just a storage building, so I didn't factor in any bathroom or anything for sewage.
So the water line would be for filling your tanks to water plants, or
just
for your business, wash your truck or something like that, right?
Exactly. Just top off whatever water tank or wash your truck or whatever. You know, just a faucet on the side of the building.
Welcome, Ted.
Hey, Ted.
You want to take over the reins?
No.
Close the meeting out.
The record you're doing a fine job.
The record should reflect Mr. Estwell came at 5:39 p.m.
What time did he come?
5:39.
7:51.
Ted has a time machine.
I'm sorry, 7:39. I beg your pardon. Sorry.
I'm 2 hours. I'm in a different time zone.
Yeah, what do you have for dinner?
I wish.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Sadler.
Yeah, I think you should just advise the applicant here that next month at the June meeting, action will be taken one way or another. He has no, he's run out of time.
Yeah,
our mandatory action date is July 1st.
Either have to withdraw and then resubmit.
Right. Okay, yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I understand now.
Okay, just wanted to be clear on that.
And if you can't get it done by next month, I don't, you know, you're not precluded from coming back, and really it would be the same application.
Just start over.
It would just be, you know, to the July meeting, but it'd have to be a new application.
Understood.
Okay. I think we beat that to death. Jonathan, thank you for joining us. Eric, thanks for making the connection and getting this.
Thank you. Yeah, I apologize. Thank you again. Thank you for understanding.
We have no other new business, no other old business. I think it's payment of bills.
Move to pay bills of found.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion to do.
I'll move to adjourn.
Adjourn.
I'll second.
Second.
Thank you.
Good night.
Fine job.
Yeah, thanks.